when he says, surely he has borne our sin and carried our sorrows. And that he was numbered with the transgressors. Let me share this with you. Make a few comments, and I have one more poem to share at the end, and then we'll spend some time in God's presence this morning. Out of the mouth of the driest land came forth this fertile tree, nothing magnetic in its hand, rejected and shamed for thee, fraught and close with suffering, clenched in the grasp of pain, living a life collecting sorrow, removing it from my name. Cursed is he to take the yoke of all this on his deck. How red the mark that bleeds beneath the contour of his neck. The pressing of the beating and the puncture of the dart were displayed for all to see the living water in his heart. It is we that have gone astray, feeding on our own accord, taking no account of the iniquity that he so graciously bore. Though his lips trembled softly, they never opened once. His defense came in the hearts of men. In his silence, their souls he touched. The clouds wailed for justice, and the skies burned with fire. But there was unanimous silence in the place of legal ire. As odd as it may seem, this was done in perfect will, with the hands of Jehovah carving the anguish to his fill. This darkness lauded within, but could not overcome the light, this glowing face confined to a weary place has ended the tyranny of night. What grand throne will seat this king? What jewels will crest his head? The song of suffering no longer will sing its somber tunes of dread. Victory will be the cadence of his new army marching again. Praise to the one who filled my gap and released this soul from sin. Amen. Amen. This little phrase has often confounded and fascinated me. It says that he was numbered with the transgressors. Numbered with the transgressors. One thing we know about Christ is that he was free from sin. And yet he was counted, think about this now, he was counted as all sin. He was treated, think about this, this just blows my mind. Jesus Christ was treated as if he committed all of our sins. Now think about that. Just the sin that you commit, that I commit, damns us to hell for all of eternity, does it not? Can you imagine bearing the sins of the world? Ben and I were driving back last evening in a truck, and he was explaining to me what he understands about the Bible. And being a typical six-year-old, he was all over the map. But he came to this point, and it was amazing. I don't know if he intended to say it this way or if it's even what he meant. But here's what he said. He said, Dad, can you even imagine it? He said, Jesus never sinned. And yet, all of our sin was in him. And even with all of our sin in him, he still didn't sin. I don't know if I ever thought about it that way. imagine that the Christ on the cross, literally, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he who knew no sin, he had no intimate knowledge, he had no experience, and sin never touched him. It was always something he observed but never partook in. He who knew no sin, and this word is amazing, he became sin for us. And as little Ben said on the way home, that all of our sin was in him. He became sin in our place, and yet in the midst of being filled with our sin, he himself still did not sin. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you not, as Job's wife advised, curse God and die? In the midst of his greatest suffering, he still does not sin, as Ben reminded me of last night. And then Ben said this, and I don't know how his little mind really works. It's creative. But he said this. He said, "Dad, that's a really miracle. That's a really miracle." And he's right. He was numbered with the transgressors, but he never became one. He became the sin of all the transgressors, yet never sinned in bearing our sin. True mark of a person is how they react in suffering. We know we can play the game. We can put on the face. But where do you run, and what do you run to when you're hurt? That tells the tale of the tape. We were just the other day moving a couch, and it was one of those couches that has a mattress inside of it. You know what I'm talking about? And I wonder why my dad had tied this long rope on it. I was to figure it out later. And as Paul and David were holding the couch, we had to turn it to get it out the door. And I realized then why there was a rope. Because the rope was supposed to be tied around the couch to hold that mattress and heavy frame in. And as they turned it, and I was walking on the side to stabilize it, it fell out. All of that weight fell out. And it raked right, it started just below my knee and raked all the way down to the top of my foot. And I tell you what, I didn't say any bad words, but I was thinking a few. And I went limping out into the hall, and I could hear my brother and my son laughing. I mean, just laughing at my suffering. And then when we got it home, I told Elizabeth, I said, "You're never going to believe what happened." And I told her what happened, and I said, "And you know, your son and my brother were laughing." And David came to try to explain. And as he started to explain it, he started laughing all over again. But you know, the mark of a person is, where do they run and what do they do when they're suffering? And especially when they're suffering for something that they didn't earn. And where does Jesus run? Truth of the matter is, he doesn't. He stays and he bears the sins of the many. He's numbered with the transgressors, but he never, even though he becomes our sin, he never crosses the threshold of sin. He never curses God. He questions God. But he does not curse him. And he hangs there for you and I. It's a powerful thing, folks. That truth has changed multiple millions of lives and eternal destinies. And it is that I wish you to ponder today. As in just a moment, we pass around these elements. and remember what he did for us. Let me share one more poem with you in this meditation today as you ponder and meditate on what Jesus has done. Like a tender plant from the soil, like a common root from the ground, came the promised suffering servant. Nothing in his looks would astound. All his majesty and beauty hid from view. This is how your God comes to you. See him so despised and rejected. His life of sorrow and pain, like the kind of person we turn from, hide our faces from all his shame. This, the Son of God, the promised one we sought, he's despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmness, carried all our sorrows away, yet we thought that God struck and cursed him, smote him with his justice that day. As he hangs there pierced and crushed against the tree, it's not for his but our iniquity. Punishment on him brings us peace now. In his bloody wounds we are healed. Like rebellious sheep, we've all wandered, choosing ways that lead far afield. But on him the Lord laid our iniquity. Peace with God he gave humanity. How he was oppressed and afflicted. Yet he never made a complaint. Like a lamb he's led to the slaughter. Like a sheep for shearing he went. So our Savior's lips were perfect through his pain. Innocent and true he'd remain. Taken by oppression and judgment, no one in his day took it in that he was cut off from the living, stricken for his own people's sin. Grouped with criminals, laid in a rich man's tomb, though a perfect man from the womb. All Isaiah's words are fulfilled now. Come and worship Christ your King. Sinners, lay your burden before him. Your new heart will shout and sing. Hear your Savior God's great promise, ever true. It is finished. All is paid for you. And folks, that is worth pondering. I've always said that Isaiah 53 preaches itself. It needs but to be read and meditated upon and pondered. That's exactly what I want us to do today. In these moments of quietness, let's let God seek our hearts and let us turn our face toward him. And in the light of his countenance, may our sin be revealed, but may it be revealed through Christ bearing it on the tree. So as God reveals sin to you, you bring it back to the cross. And in a few moments, let's take this table with great joy. Let's just have a time to meditate. And if you want to read through Isaiah 53 as you pray, however you want to do that, I want to encourage you to do that for just the next few moments.